The Money Show. Business Unusual with Colin Cullis.
Now, when I was a kid, TikTok was the sound a clock made. Now, clocks don't make a sound, but there is a new video sharing phenomenon using that name. Colin Cullis, educate, please.
Well, Bruce, you already have a very popular and often updated Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook accounts. And the new kid on the block is this TikTok one. And so for the course of this evening, and for anybody else, I think fair to say over the age of 25, it's an opportunity both to give you an insight as to what it is and a reason why it has managed to do as well as it has.
Are you telling me that after all of the hard work of many years of dedicated building of followers and generation of content and narky, snarky comments on all of these platforms, I've now got to close down my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts and open a TikTok one?
No, because you actually...
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, no. Keep all of the accounts. The thing that's getting more complicated is you're speaking to more and more groups of people. And TikTok is very clearly something that resonates very well with much younger users.
Got you.
So here's the business part about it. It's a Chinese short video app. Officially, just over a year old, but that's not being too truthful because many of its users were acquired when the holding company ByteDance, which owns TikTok, bought a company called Musical.ly in 2017, rebranded it in 2018, and in October 2018, it got a real boost with a couple of challenges, etc., that had come out. That's kind of when it hit its first big mark. But ByteDance, that company, is a seven-year-old company consisting of quite a few other news-related and social media app-related, but all Chinese-based. Now, we've often spoken about the FANG group of companies, which in the US are the Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. In China, they have the Bat group of companies, which is Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent. What's impressive about this is ByteDance isn't owned by one of those three. So it's a newcomer who has also managed to found a really good way of reaching a market, which I think is fair to say is the future of anybody who's going to be using the internet because of their age. And the reason why TikTok does something that the Instagrams and Twitters maybe aren't working quite as well for them, is that you have to think about what 13 to 20-year-olds typically wind up doing. And I go back to, I suppose, our youth school days, where you'd be into certain silly songs, and I seem to remember people would have these intricate sort of hand-slapping sort of combinations and dances you do, or you do pranks, or you just sort of mess around for your friends. Well, TikTok, because it limits you to make 15-second videos, doesn't require to make something that goes much beyond that. And what they've done, which is absolutely exceptional, is that the kind of video editing software that this comes with would be the kind of thing that would cost thousands and thousands of rands just a few years ago because of how good it is. And you get it free. So the first bit is the capturing of the actual video and the ability to edit it, adding on some really impressive effects. And then captions, and then the music. That's been the new one, because these short-form videos, big fans of Twitter will remember that they acquired a company called Vine good many years ago, and then sort of quietly incorporated into Twitter and then sort of just let it go. Now you don't have to make a six-second Vine anymore. You can make a video of any length, and then that's
okay. What's going on there. I mean, what is the purpose of these videos? I mean, it's basically what mini YouTube videos or mini Twitter videos, and it's only videos. So it's you showing off your skills, attributes, prank ability, dancing capability, juggling ability, whatever it might be, in short bite-sized chunks, right?
Exactly right. And it's because you can simply show off in a simplistic way, albeit that this is quite a sophisticated system. It doesn't work on something like YouTube, for example, which of course still has over 500 hours of audio, video rather, being uploaded every minute. But the difference is the quality and the production that goes into the sort of things that become popular on YouTube can't compete with somebody who's just going to do a silly dance. But everything on TikTok consists of silly, quick, fun things. And so the likelihood of you not just getting noticed, but being noticed by people who would appreciate it is much bigger because of the number of people on it. And it's coming up for the billion mark for this company to have that many people all looking to engage and take part in the platform. And it's probably also worthwhile pointing out that while the platform gives all of its users the capability to create these videos, the general rule of thumb on the internet is one that they refer to as the 99-1 rule, in which case 90% of people simply watch things, 9% sort of edit, respond, share things, and 1% are the real creators. So again, you just need that 1% of really quite standout creators to create the ecosystem for everybody else to have an endless supply of videos for you to watch. And ByteDance and TikTok in this case then also adds the very clever little AI stuff that says which things has Bruce been watching on TikTok and give him more and more of the videos that, for example, might be dance challenges or funny pranks or specific songs. There might be a certain genre of music you like, in which case keep giving you TikTok videos with that kind of music in it. And some South African, there were two I just had a look at, just South Africa TikTok is pretty popular. I looked at two users. The one, a 15-year-old, had 93,000 followers on TikTok, but also was on Instagram and had less than 1,000 followers there.
Uh-huh.
The other one, a 22-year-old, had almost 1 million followers on TikTok.
What?
Also on Instagram, 63,000 followers. So very definitely an influencer space, but just so much more impact, so much more reach on TikTok. So for a younger audience, there's a lot more to watch because it's a little more, you know, relevant to you. And for a creator that age, a lot more likely you're going to be able to succeed. And brands are starting to see that now.
I was getting to purpose, because it's all well and good to have lots of fun. And it's all well and good to have kids making videos and stuff. And I'm sure they're learning a skill in terms of communication and distribution and understanding better how the internet works and, you know, how you can throw your name away in a second and lose your reputation. All of those important things that you have to learn probably the hard way. But when it comes to commercializing opportunities, as people have been able to do to promote themselves using Instagram, using Facebook, using Twitter, does TikTok have that level of adaptability and acceptance?
Yes, not that we've seen it in a lot of occasions, but I've got two very specific incidents and stories that I think you say, ah, yes, that makes sense. And the most recent one was the one relating to Shoma Jozy and the impressive power to get the song John Cena becoming sort of a global hit. It was released in August on YouTube, and it has been doing phenomenally well there. But YouTube is well known, and getting noticed amongst all the other songs that are released on YouTube could be difficult. It was also released on Facebook, and that was also mid-August, and that got some people wanting to take part, including the challenge to try and see how would you dance to this song. And dance challenges have been around for a while, and clever artists will actively seek out how to try and get more people wanting to engage or create content around their songs in a way that helps them promote their song, obviously not pirate it. But when it gets to platforms like TikTok, that's when it really can jump. And the real standout one here, and I don't know if you know the song Old Town Road. Odds are you've heard it. Exactly that one.
Yeah.
Now, Lil Nas X is a 20-something who had no record contract and no hits. But he was pretty savvy when it came to marketing and distribution. So after he created that song, he specifically went and was promoting it for months on TikTok, trying to get it adopted to take off. And the way he created was a thing called the Yeehaw Challenge. And you start off walking onto the scene, a little cutscene happens, and you're in your cowboy outfit, and you dance along to his Old Town Road. That's where it got picked up. And then people started, you know, doing the dance outside of TikTok, back on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. Once it got noticed on those platforms, particularly Twitter, that's when the sort of regular media tends to pick up on things. Once it then makes it onto TV and everything else, it becomes a regular hit. And he has a record now for having the longest billboard number one that he created, because he really understood how to get that earworm planted in our heads slowly and expand it out. So it didn't peak too soon, but it also was going to fizzle out before it really hit the big time. So this is a way that that could work. It won't work with everybody. I'm sure everybody's trying to copy that, and somebody won't do it.
No, absolutely. You've got to have something quite special. And Old Town Road is that earworm quality. I mean, it is that thing. It gets in your brain and you can't get out. And so using it cleverly then to promote artists and artists' work, I get. Will it, I wonder, have any other applications? I mean, it's not a news distribution vehicle like Facebook and Twitter, for example. It's not sharing your best life stuff as Instagram has become. It's got a different application in a sea of social media options.
Yeah, and here's an area where I imagine Andy Rice would have a lot more to say about the value of it. Because they're sort of limited to 15 seconds, and you can put on a repeat and go a little longer, 15 seconds is kind of jingle length. It's why most songs that are used are the hooks. In fact, the other one that really got a good lift from this was the Dharmas by Biggie. And it's that little middle bit that everybody wanted to do their own actions to or do a little dance to that got it stuck in people's heads. So when you went seeking out the actual full track and kind of after people were interested in it, they started listening to the whole thing. So for brands who maybe have moved away from those old style jingles, could look to start creating jingles again, using the jingles in a nice way that has a dance or an action or some silly thing that a relatively influential performer or creator on TikTok would do, then have other people copy it to try and say, oh, I can also do that, is the kind of thing that would work. Now, that's all the really good stuff, and I think I've been pretty gushing about how wonderful it is. But all of these things they come with a downside. When you've got about a million people with access to a platform like this, when so many of them are young, naive, impressionable, can be sort of taken in by marketers and other dodgy people, there are reasons to be concerned. There are also people who want to go one step further and say, well, these are Chinese companies who, given the Chinese authorities' way of handling censorship and their rules, might not also be something that for the rest of the world is quite comfortable with. It also, like most big data companies these days, sucks up huge amounts of information about what it is you're doing and who it is you are. So in one respect, it says, hey, how would you like to invite the rest of your friends to more easily find your profile? Just let us see your telephone contacts. Just let us see your GPS contacts. Just let us get access to all of the elements on your phone where we know what your phone state is on. We can set out calls. We can determine which apps you're using at any one time. And that is something to be concerned about because none of us are interested in that, but we should be. And I wouldn't have said this if it wasn't for the fact that we've got fantastic examples that have come down the line thanks to Facebook and Google. The best intentions do get shifted. And these are young people. The stuff that they're going to do on there should just be for fun, should be forgotten, and live their lives. But there's a potential that somebody who buys it, somebody who uses it, somebody who abuses it can do that. And in a recent ruling against the company by the US authorities, because they were having under 13s using the app, which is illegal there because of what people can do with the information, they've had to pay a fine and they've had to restrict what they could do. But the app itself still has problems with ability for people to communicate with each other, you know, send comments, that young kids are getting comments, inappropriate comments from much older people who can also download it. That is the problem. So, you know, if there's a parent listening or somebody older listening and their kid is saying, oh, they love it, they love it, I wouldn't try and kill the enthusiasm for the platform, but please don't assume that this is all safe and it is wonderful. There are some challenges. TikTok does have tens of thousands of moderators, but still the risk remains. However, if you had to suggest, well, go back and simply play in the schoolyard and play hopscotch or something else, I think that horse has bolted too. So it's just a more complex, more challenging world, and we do have these amazing tools that we can use, but they do come with their own problems.
Thank you, Colin Cullis, Business Unusual correspondent for The Money Show.